Well, good morning, church, and good morning, Edmund. Thank you so much for being here. I am so excited for the journey that we are going to be on together this week. In the meantime, I need to ask you a question. I'm going to need a show of hands on this. I want to ask how your road trip up here was. I mean, how many of you slept on the way up here? Okay. How many of you talked with your friends on the way up here? Okay. How many of you played games on the van on the way up here? How many of you used AI to roast each other on the way up here? Okay, a lot of people used AI to roast each other. Okay, common thing it sounds like. And how many of you listened to music on the way up here? Okay, I want to hear from some of the students, what's some of the music that you listen to? Maybe a favorite song that you listen to. You can also confess to your youth ministers at this time if you need to. Let's hear it.
We listen to about Our Descendants.
Okay. For the whole van. The whole van. Okay, apologize for that van. What else? I saw a lot of hands over here. Who are you pointing at? Which Nathan, what were you listening to?
Jazz,
okay. Jazz music, I like it. Any other music? One more that someone wants to share with us? Oh, in the very back, let's hear it. Sorry, I didn't see your hand.
I listen to, some Taylor Swift.
Oh, Taylor. If my daughter Aspen was in here, she'd be really excited about that, okay? So I bring this up because we are in the middle of a series on the Psalms of Ascent. And the Psalms of Ascent were Israel's road trip music. No matter which way you went to Jerusalem, it was always uphill. They were ascending towards God, and it was their playlist of worship as they came to celebrate the religious holidays. So the third psalm, which we are on this week in the Psalms of Ascent, is a nostalgic song. So for a few minutes here, we need to work on our nostalgia. If you don't know what nostalgia is, talk to a Cowboys fan. They're still living in the 90s. Okay? Right, John? Right, John? Yeah. But have you ever noticed how a song can just take you back? Like, for many of us, growing up in church, our childhood sounded something like this.
If you Brian? Like to talk to
today. Yes. And you could just keep it going. When I hear the song The Magnificat, I think of two significant funerals of some dear loved ones in my life. And I'm guessing there are certain songs you think of that come to mind of funerals of family and friend that meant a lot to you. Maybe you hear a song on the radio and it was a song from your wedding and it brings back good memories. I have a friend who absolutely hates the song Days of Elijah, which we sang earlier. I would always start it because he'd get up and walk out of the room whenever it came on. And so I always think of him when that song comes up. Conversely, in a few minutes, we're going to sing and close out our service with the song The Greatest Commands, and that song always reminds me of summer camp. That's like a quintessential summer camp song to me. But country music specializes in the genre of nostalgia, okay? Maybe some of you have heard Alan Jackson's song Remember When. Or Kenny Chesney has an entire song devoted to these feelings, I Go Back. And it's with these kind of feelings in mind, I want us to open up to Psalms 122. Pray with me as we get started. God, we are seeking to move closer and closer to you. May your Spirit guide us on this journey, higher and higher up your mountain, the mountain you're on where we join you. May we see how you are with us in the trials in life on our journey towards you. Help us to overcome and to continue on. So to that end, pour through me the gift of preaching that we may ascend closer to you every day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Life can be really hard sometimes. And time can pass without us realizing how life can be. Even more so, difficult seasons in life have the ability to steal our joy. The pain of our mistakes can harden our hearts. The struggle of the journey up the mountain can leave us feeling exhausted. And sometimes we need a song to take us back to the feeling of the good old days before our mistakes, when life was easy, joyful, and good. And this is the feeling in the third Psalms of Ascents. Edmund, these Psalms were written after Babylon had come in and conquered Jerusalem. The consequences of their sin that they were warned through many prophets had come true. Jerusalem had been destroyed, and they are in the process of rebuilding Jerusalem. And so it is these feelings that they have in mind as they open up the Psalms of Ascents. And this song is written as if it were King David. King David, the founding king of Jerusalem, dreaming of visiting Jerusalem. And so they're wondering, the Israelites, how to put the pieces back together of those things that are broken. And here is David giving them this sense. I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the throne of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say peace within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. See, we live in the great stage and age of humanity where musicians love trading genres. Right, like Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift singing pop, and then we have Post Malone and Beyonce singing country. What is going on in the world today? I can't explain it to you, but I think it has something to do with money. That's my guess. But long before this, we have the Psalms of Ascent, and we have this genre switch. You see, Psalm 122 sounds like another genre of the Psalms. These Psalms are called the Songs of Zion. Okay? These songs occur earlier in the Psalms, and they reflect the glory days of King Solomon. James actually read for us one of the Psalms of Zion, and they overly focus on architecture. On Jerusalem, on the walls, on the temple, on different features. It's like, it doesn't really resonate with me, but maybe the people that like to go to Europe and see the cathedrals and the castles, it would be maybe that kind of feeling. They're worshiping the building. But here in Psalm 122, it's doing something similar. Yet this is a Psalms of Ascents. What's going over here? We have a genre crossover. The genres in the book of Psalms are missing over, and it is for good reason. Jerusalem had five themes that stood out to the Israelites, and they were this: that Jerusalem was the center of the world to the Israelites. Two, it was the meeting place of heaven and earth. Three, it was in a place infused in both the past, the present, and the future. Fourth, it was a place of order. And fifth, because of all these things, these four things, it was a place that when you went there and partook in this city, something transformed inside of you. The sacred nature stirred your heart and moved you to become more like God. So because of these qualities, pre-exile, before Babylon came in and conquered them, Jerusalem was often portrayed as invincible. Okay? Israelites had a certain pride that nothing could come and defeat this city. Jerusalem, in a sense, was the Titanic of the ancient world. Okay? It's considered unsinkable. And yet, for the exact same reason as the Titanic, it sank. Pride. See, when things tend to be going well, we tend to think, oh, it's because of us, because of what we've done, because of our achievements that we are in that situation. The Israelites saw the fact that they had a city on a mountain with its own spring, with big walls, with strong gates and an impressive temple, and their faith were in those things. And we know that pride comes before the fall, and that is what happened to Israel and what we can so easily do in our own lives. But Psalm 46, a psalm of Zion, a psalm about these walls, is the key to what Israel missed. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. See, if God is in Jerusalem, nothing stands a chance against Jerusalem. But if God is not in his holy temple, watch out. And can't this be true of our own hearts? When God is absent inside of our hearts and our minds, we tend to make terrible decisions. But here is where Psalms 122 comes in. This is coming one generation after all the foundations of these values of Jerusalem have been destroyed. The temple walls are being rebuilt. But Jerusalem is not what it once was. It isn't as beautiful as it was in the days of Solomon before sin came in and destroyed it. And so the question of Psalm 122 is, how do we worship God after our failure and our destruction? This is the beauty of what the psalm is saying. It takes us somewhere. It takes us and sees the nostalgia of our past, but it also paves the way for a new future that overcomes our destruction of life. So Psalm 122 is not so much about where you're located. It's about where God is located. Is God located in you? See, in verse 1, David rejoices because he's going to the house of the Lord. Do we rejoice when we get to go to church? Do we rejoice when we get our quiet times alone to worship and study and be with God in prayer? Verses 2 and 3, David rejoices because he's in within the city gates. In other words, he feels the safety of being at home. Jerusalem means a city of peace, and so he is feeling the peace of God within those walls. But this isn't just a solo thing, as verse 4 goes on to point out. All God's people are gathered together communally. Just like today, we're gathered together as a community. Two churches, in fact, gathered together from two different parts of the world, worshiping together. We celebrate when we're together in our unity in God. Verse 5 is a call for justice. This world oftentimes lacks justice. And the only one who can really bring true justice is God. So it's a faith that God will actually bring about the justice in this world. And the last paragraph of Psalm 122 is a prayer. It is a prayer for shalom. True peace. Not just the lack of conflict, but the presence of something greater. It is a prayer for prosperity for God's people after destruction. It is a belief that God is the one who protects the walls and towers of peace. It is a longing for peace for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And most of all, it is a prayer for the place where God and humans meet together, the temple. And we as Christians must remember that we now are this temple. We are the place where God resides. See, this is the restoration that has been longing since Genesis in chapter 3. See, in Genesis chapter 1, God makes the earth and he forms an ancient temple. And the way that you would make an ancient temple is inside an ancient temple, you would put an image of your God. And what God decides to put inside his temple is Adam, humanity. You and I created in his image. But the fall represents a lack of peace. It is a brokenness. It is the story of something missing. So the Bible, in part, is a story of God bringing us God's peace. It's God restoring what was once in that garden. So for thousands of years, the way to find this peace for ancient Israel was to go to a tabernacle or to go to a temple in order to worship. And the Hebrew word for peace, as I pointed out, is shalom. And again, this means so much more than the absence of conflict. It means wholeness or completeness. So when David is dreaming of this completed temple that he never got to see in his lifetime, he's dreaming about what God did to bring about this completeness or wholeness. Today, people are searching for the same thing. They just use other terms for it. They use words like human flourishing, finding or living the good life, self-actualization, and I could go on and on. But what our hearts really need and long for is shalom. The shalom of being God's temple, the completeness only God can give. We are searching for Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So let me give you a couple steps here to get this completion or wholeness in your life. See, peace comes in two parts. Peace is something you receive, and peace is something that you participate in. To understand this, you have to first understand how Jerusalem of Psalm 122 functions. It functions as an icon of what the world should be and one day will be through Jesus. In the present, it can only be partially in breaking this kingdom to come. However, in the meantime, us as pilgrims on our ascent hike up the mountain towards God, and we pray and we seek peace for the city, for all in it. We participate in it. See, the realities of war and strife and conflict, pain and suffering might be very real in this world. But we seek God. We seek Jerusalem's peace to bring justice, to bring a new sacred reality into being. We seek to be God's temple, God's installment of peace. And so we're going to try to do this week, Edmund. We see the pain and the hurts this week of the brokenness in this community, of families hurting, of people we will encounter in VBS or service projects. But here we will be teaching kids that Jesus is their rescuer. We will be sharing with them that Jesus is the one who saves us. And we will be seeking to be the peace of the city. That when the kids come into these walls and they see these towers and they see you, that they feel a little piece of God's peace in their lives. That is what we are seeking to do this week. We are seeking to lead them into relationship with Jesus where they can find true peace. So let me tell you about a guy who didn't have any peace. This guy was a murderer. He ran away from home. He was running from his problems. He gave excuses when confronted and called to go home to rescue his people as to why he shouldn't go home. No, I'm not talking about Simba. I'm talking about Moses. Moses had to go through this hard journey of failure and redemption. In fact, this is the journey that most of us as followers of Jesus have to go through. This is something that King David himself was not even exempt from. Maybe you've heard it said that God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called. And that is what God is trying to do in our lives. So life gets us down at times. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes we realize the destruction of the world that we've created or has happened to us, and we think, how do we put these pieces back together? And Psalm 122 is our encouragement to keep marching on. Church Edmund was a great example of this yesterday to us. You heard the story that Brian shared and the prank that he put him through. But there was more going on than that. I shared on social media. They handed out 3,000 flyers this week, door to door, knocking on every door in the hot sun as they continued to work hard. And when I took my son Silas home from a day of work, he told me about the hard stories you had to face. Not the pretend ones that Brian put you through, but the real ones. People who were real and said, don't talk to me. Get away, just go on. And I was processing that with my 9-year-old. Man, that is how the world is sometimes. And I was trying to teach him Luke chapter 10, how to dust ourselves off and keep moving, and it weighed on him. But you are an example to us all to keep marching. Do you know, Edmund, that a few years ago I invited the church to join us, the church here in Poncha, and no one showed up? Like, you're an example for us of what we won't do for ourselves. I hope that's convicting for us, church here in Poncha. We continue to press on. So here's the bottom line. If you hear nothing else in this sermon, hear this. I was wondering this week, as I got done working, how do I summarize this sermon? How do I put it together? And God answered the question. God answered the question through one of you at Picnic in the Park who asked a really honest question that I really appreciate. Can God really forgive me? Can God really forgive me? Psalms 122 is the answer to that question. It is the answer that God restores, that Israel failed to keep their promises and yet God restored them. Israel does not deserve what they have, the new walls, the new temple, and God not only forgave them, God redeemed them by building those walls and that temple that were once lost. So let me answer the question I think some people really need to hear today. Can God forgive you? Psalm 122 is more then can God forgive you? It is a resounding yes. It is that God loves you exactly where you are, but way too much to let you stay that way. Psalm 122 is the song of the redeemed. Those God picks up, dusts off, gets on the right path, and sends them on their journey when they've been lost in life. We are God's temple. We sing the song of the redeemed. So in conclusion, when life gets hard, we turn on the nostalgic music. And it's easy in the nostalgic music to remember the good times, the easy times when all seemed to go well. But we cannot forget either when we turn on the music to listen to Coldplay as well. Because if you've been online this week, you have seen the shame of two people's very poor choices. And the CEO in his apology said that was a private moment. I'm like, how did that go with your wife? Like, I mean, Coldplay hasn't released a single in years, and then they made two this week. What is going on? See, poor choices at a Coldplay concert will lead us for years to remember, oh my goodness, that's the pain of sin. That's what sin does in my life. Don't go to a Coldplay concert, moral of the story, right? Like, it is dangerous. We are playing with fire. But we are so blessed. Because do you know how many songs we can sing of God's faithfulness? Of what God has done for us, how God has rescued and redeemed and carries us on over and over again. We've sung some of those great songs today. And why don't we sing some more of those songs as we remember Psalm 122?